Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Welcome in, guys, to another BMR mailbag. And we got the guys in here right now. We got Clint Bush, Mel Vandy, Pat Riley, and Ryan Mueller. We got a full house in for you, and we are going to jump straight into your mail. If you want your mail on the show, you got to email us at thisshowistrash@gmail.com with any questions, feedback, anything you want to communicate with us, and we are going to get back to you on this mailbag. Hopefully we try to hit everybody. If we don't get your email answered and you've sent one recently, doesn't mean it's just gone forever. We might get to it in the next mailbag. We got a little bit of a backlog here that we're working through. So we're going to jump straight in. And our first email comes from Craig Dalton. And Craig says, hello, BMR squad.
Hi, Craig.
Today I was thinking about movie characters who might have been better portrayed by an alternative actor or actress. One that came to mind was Michael J. Fox playing Alex Rogan in The Last Starfighter instead of Lance Guest. Fox plays a great underdog protagonist and would have brought much more charisma to the character. Another one was replacing Robert Patrick with Dolph Lundgren as the T-1000. I know the vibe they're going for with Patrick playing the cop villain, but looking back, ironically, it felt too mechanical. While Arnold and Dolph battling for Terminator supremacy would have been epic. With that, what character would you like to have seen played by a different actor? Now, I'm going to let you guys think about that for a second, but before we even dive into what our answers are for this, I do want to say something. There is no way in hell I would ever recast Robert Patrick in Terminator 2 as the T-1000. That dude crushed it. And I love Dolph Lundgren.
Have you seen this boy?
Right. But I'm not putting Dolph. I mean, yeah, it would have been cool to have a movie where Arnie is fighting with Dolph Lundgren. Then put Arnie in Universal Soldier or something instead of Van Damme, whatever you want to do. But man, oh man, not Robert Patrick as T-1000. That was incredible. All right. As you guys are thinking about this, is there a movie where you're like, this other actor, I know we've done the Arnold thing in every episode, would have been better than somebody else?
There's definitely some different actresses I'd like to place in some different roles for the reasons of.
Besides that.
Oh.
Point.
Oh, I was literally just having a conversation with Laura about this recently.
Oh, were you? Okay.
I can't even remember the movie right now, but I was like, this movie would have been so much better had this person, because like there were certain things where you can almost tell that they wrote the script for that person. Mm-hmm. You know, they had that person in mind. Now, of course, I'm on the spot drawing a blank, but there have been those where, even when I've seen, like, I mean, I think part of the problem with, like, even, I mean, Dan Brown with The Da Vinci Code was trying to force Harrison Ford to play his character, but, like, it was too weird. Tom Hanks is great, but to see him on screen, when I read the book, Harrison Ford was in my brain that entire thing because he opened up the book by saying, this is who it is.
Like, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
I think. To have Harrison Ford in that part. That's a good answer.
You know, we were talking about before the mailbag.
Yeah.
Reacher, Jack Reacher.
Yes.
Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State would have been great in the movies.
There you go.
He's perfect for the role. He fits what the book actually meant.
Instead of Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Oh, that was the guy with the Oreo cookie run. That's
yes.
I never even placed that back there. Thank you for that.
There you go. Anything else from you guys as far as this question goes? Because I honestly always have a hard time answering this question because I think people, and I think Robert Downey Jr. was talking about this on Howard Stern, because Howard, one of his favorite things to do is to bring people back to roles they were supposed to get or didn't get or they passed on. And go, oh, how could you do this? How could you not do that movie? How'd you say no to this movie? And Robert Downey Jr.'s response is really great. He goes, I think you do the movies that you're supposed to do and the right people that get the job supposedly or, you know, end up getting the job. And it is what it is. You have to let that stuff go immediately. So I struggle with this for that reason, because I have a hard time, even when I start thinking about, like, I'm just looking at these characters in front of me, Ash, Who else is going to do that but Bruce Campbell? Jack Burton, who's going to do that besides Kurt Russell? Even the guys here from Office Space or Arnie and the Turbo Man. So, like, I don't know. I know maybe it's a cop-out, Craig, and not exactly what you're looking for, but I think these guys all are who they were supposed to be.
I know I'm on this show that reviews movies and stuff, and I don't find myself to be a fantastic critic, because when I look at this stuff, I don't look at it that analytically in general, and we just come in and complain and make jokes.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm watching the movie, and I assume that they did the job that they were meaning to do, and I'm not smart enough to know who would have done it better. Fair enough. That's why I'm not doing that.
I know we do it with Arnold. How, you know, what role could we put him in? We do that every episode, right? But it's fun. It's fun to think about that. But I'm in the same boat. I don't know. Without sitting here really thinking about it, looking at a catalog, there's not one coming right off the top of my head, because the movies are made with whoever's the leader or, you know, the supporting actors. And that's who you associate with that movie with at that point,
right?
Because they're the ones that played that role.
Right. I got
you. Well, I would assume, too, you write the script. Again, we've talked about it. There's a script you write. You cast the thing, and then it's like, okay, well, this is the person. Well, you know, we looked at all these people. This is the one I picked. It's like, you know, if we just change this a little bit for that guy, it'll fit better. So then you've changed it, and now, well, you could have changed it this other way, and it would have absolutely gone with a different guy.
And as you said that, I thought of one. Police Academy, Leslie Nielsen should have been the commandant.
There you go. Perfect. There you go.
That's the one.
That's the one. So, Greg, appreciate you, man, every time you reach out. Thanks, brother. Next email comes from Adam Lofton. He says, so you know, I've listened for a long time, and I've just recently watched Bloodsport because you guys kept talking about it on your Cyborg episode.
Sorry about that.
Bloodsport's awesome. I'm happy that we turned him on. Have you ever seen Bloodsport?
No.
Oh, dude, this guy, Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know who that is, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay, plays this guy named Frank Dukes, who goes in a secret Kumite tournament, like Mortal Kombat style, and fights all these dudes, and it's amazing. Also, I'm pretty sure the real Frank Dukes was a charlatan and a liar. But this fake story about his fake life actually is pretty good.
I mean, movies generally make people look better than they are. Because that's where I'm going back to that first question. Like, Mel Gibson, like, I'm sorry, William Wallace had a beard.
Yes.
And was bigger.
Yeah.
And Robert the Bruce was actually far more important in Scottish independence and not this person that, like, betrayed him on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And I saw it in his eyes. Like, no.
I love that movie, but while also recognizing that it's basically
fiction. It's a movie. Yeah.
I loved that movie growing up, and the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, this is corny as how many times can you say freedom?
No.
And just freedom. And
it's not corny. It's fictional.
It's gotten very corny for me.
I have bad memories about that movie.
Someday we'll tell that story, Mo. He says, thank you. The movie was amazing. And JCVD, I'm going to watch his entire catalog. Let's go, Adam. Bob, you and I agree about the Snyderverse and how his cuts are so much better. Thank you, guys. Make my day go by faster, especially when I'm towing a semi back. Keep on doing what you guys do. Your buddy, Adam Loft. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate the email, dude.
Adam's big rig wrecking.
He is.
Nice.
And apparently we've turned him on to the Jean-Claude Van Damme catalog of movies. So
how do you get your CDO without knowing about Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Is that part of the test?
I think it is.
Okay, because they have the scene
you're at the truck stop.
Doing the splits between two semis going down the street. And that's
it was a Volvo commercial.
I thought it was Kurt Reynolds you didn't know about.
Could be. All right, Eric Majorwitz is back with another 4Cs. This is a mailbag number 28. Look, he says, Dear BMR crew, time again for another 4C email talking about Dead or Alive. He wanted to clarify, I didn't give my top three picks. Well, Eric, I'm sorry. I failed miserably. Sometimes we go through these things, and I just forget the fact that I haven't done it yet because I'm over here playing quarterback and trying to make sure everybody else gets their three picks. I hope that you can forgive me and find it in your heart to do that. He said his favorite quote from that episode was Ryan Matalas saying,
I can crack the door some more if you want to continue invading.
That way, have you guys ever seen Dead or Alive?
No.
Yep.
You saw Dead or Alive.
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
It's terrible, but in an enjoyable way. His haiku, he writes haikus about each of these movies, is... Chicks in bikinis, fighting and beach volleyball, perfect film for Bob.
The haiku.
Yeah. He also wanted to clarify out of our Elektra episode, this guy, I like that he goes back and makes sure we're doing things right here. We talked about Bob Sapp being Luke Cage, right? Would have been a better Luke Cage. He says Bob Sapp's actually bigger than Luke Cage. He's 2 inches taller and 124 pounds heavier than Mike Coulter, who played Nick Cage, or not Nick Cage, that's a different actor, Luke Cage on the Netflix series. Fun fact, if you weigh his character using the English and British imperial unit of mass, he's 23.5 stones. Stones. Get it? You see what I did there?
No.
Nope.
That's okay. His haiku for Elektra was, nerds will tell you that. Sighs are actually dull, much like this movie. Nice. Yeah. Wait, we just keep roasting Elektra. I'm always here for it, man. Always here for it. And
Jennifer Garner.
What's that?
Is that the one with Jennifer Garner?
That's the one with Jennifer Garner. Yeah.
I don't get it. Jennifer Garner, I don't get
it. Yeah, I never did either.
She's no Jessica Biel.
Lastly, his haiku here for Jenna, who his favorite quote from The Fog was,
Spooner, I hardly know her.
He says, fog kills people. Who loves Aunt Connie and Ding Dongs? James, her biggest fan. That's right. Rip Aunt Connie and throw out a Ding Dong in the garbage disposal for her today, please.
Drop one down for Aunt Connie. Drop one down.
That's right. We appreciate you, Eric. Thanks for reaching out and keep the four C's coming, man. Next email comes from Chris Shameless. He says, hey, fellas, last time I told you that you edged out another bad movie podcast with your episode on Big Trouble in Little China. And no, I still won't tell you who it was. But what got my attention off BMR is the TikTok clips of your episode on The Vindicator. You were on Vindicator, yeah. I think, yeah, right?
Yeah, I was too.
Apparently a guilty pleasure of mine since my teens that no other movie podcast really talks about, let alone even knows exist. Charting new ground with our Vindicator coverage.
Yes, yes. We went after the 7,000 people who watched that movie. And we got one.
We did, man.
Reeled one in.
Cast a large net.
He says, keeping with the science gone mad theme of Vindicator, I have a couple of similar films in mind. First, the beautiful Christy Swanson, a.k.a. Christy Boner from
I was the boner, but that was my car.
And Deadly Friend from 1986. Anybody want to look that up?
I'll look it up. What do we got?
Deadly Friend. And Mel, you can look up the other one. He goes, secondly, the Brat Packer Ally Sheedy in Man's Best Friend from 1993. And finally, one that's a little more like Nature Gone Mad meets Consumerism, The Stuff from 1985. I don't think any of those are on the list currently.
They don't sound familiar.
Somebody hit me with a synopsis for
Deadly,
one of them.
Deadly Friend, so that's a Wes Craven movie. Yeah.
Ooh.
5.5 on IMDb. Synopsis is, after his friend is killed by her abusive father, the new kid in town attempts to save her by implanting a robotic microchip into her brain.
Yeah, like you do.
That's what
right,
I would
do. That's standard operating procedure.
Like, what else are you going to do in that situation?
Right.
What the hell was going on in the 80s? I don't understand. Like, I feel like all the... No, but see, I think it was all the weed. In the 60s.
The cocaine and pre-workout.
And then they
cocaine,
were growing
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
It was the weed babies. Like, impacting the development, and they were writing these in the 80s then.
Could be. Very well could be. Which one you got?
I got Man's Best Friend.
All right. Hit me.
So it's 5.2 IMDb, 21% Rotten Tomatoes. Nice. Reporter Lori Tanner, investigating a story about animal cruelty, gains access to a facility where dogs and cats are the subject of cruel experiments conducted by Dr. Jarrett.
Mm.
Guy from Subway?
The dog is lovable. She takes the genetically altered dog and sets him on a killing spree.
A dog killer dog movie?
Yeah. All right. Sounds like Cujo Part 2.
In 1993, Ally Sheedy wasn't working a lot then. I'll have to check that one out and see, and we'll add it to the list. He finishes up, Chris Shameless, with, anyway, you keep kicking out the jams, and I'll keep listening. Chris, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks for writing in, man. And we'll try to keep kicking out the jams. That's what we're doing out here, trying to figure it out. Philip Rohr is our next emailer, and he says, hey guys, love the show. Being born in 77 and close to the same age, I've seen a ton of these movies, and I've been watching the stuff I haven't seen. I've lost a lot of sleep staying up watching these. Well, we're sorry, buddy.
Sorry, boot that.
I'm still working through the back catalog and trying to keep up with the new stuff along the way, and I was listening to the latest mailbag, and your conversation about books to movies got me thinking. I 100% agree about Ready Player One. Book was so good, and the movie, even though the author was asked to help write the script, it just didn't compare. But I do have one that I think is good and one that is horrible, and they are from the same series. Jurassic Park.
Okay.
The first movie was great and followed the book pretty well. And while I understand it can't be exact, they did a good job keeping it close. Jurassic Park Lost World, however, what a piece of trash. The book is so much better, and they could have done the same as the first and taken some creative licenses and stuck with the basic story, but they decided to completely ruin it. Now, just pausing from his email here for a second. I had no idea. I thought the second one, by the second one, they were just taking off and doing their own movie scripts, and it wasn't still based
on it. No, it was a whole series.
Yeah.
But Crichton wrote a whole series of books for Jurassic Park?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
That's because we don't read.
And so I like The Lost World, the movie.
Right.
But now I want to go read the book and find out what the heck, why didn't they do that?
Where'd it go? Yeah, where it went wrong.
Man, oh man. He goes, look, another thing I enjoy about the podcast is me being a car guy. You guys are the best at actually knowing makes, models, and general info about cars.
It's all James.
One guy.
It is all James.
That's not true.
And there's starter cable problems.
No.
You got a frayed starter cable up in here.
Because having car guys on the show is always good. That is 100% Clint Bush.
Do I got to go to the flagpole again? What happened?
No, you don't have to go to the flagpole. He's saying it's a good thing that we have car
guys. I try, and I get it wrong 9 times out of 10, too, but I try a lot.
There wasn't even any good cars in the last. We just recorded Yoga Hosers, which hasn't come out.
No, cars. Yeah, there wasn't even any cars in there.
They were all walking. It's Canada.
Everything was walking.
Yeah.
No vehicles.
Dog. They parked their huskies out in the lot. Career.
He said,
"It's in a vehicle for comedy."
There's
anyway.
Just dog sled everywhere.
Right.
He said, "I love car movies, and boy, are there some bad ones, and I still love them."
Yeah, there.
Anyway, here are a few suggestions. This one's already on the list. We talked about No Retreat, No Surrender from '86. It was JCVD. He had a very small part in it. Bad acting, bad 80s story, and Bruce Lee's ghost. That I didn't know is in it. That makes it even more enticing to me. And since I mentioned car movies, Born to Race.
Yep.
You know that movie?
Yep.
He says, I don't know why, but I love this movie. Good cars, illegal street racing, and a super cute brunette. It's like my kryptonite. There is a sequel too, and it's even worse.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's talking an 88 version.
Okay.
1988.
What hit me with the synopsis for Born to Race?
All right. So that one, we're in at 3.9.
3.9?
I can't believe this is that bad that it's below Yoga Hosers.
Yo!
Yeah, right.
All right, what is it?
Synopsis. A race car driver falls in love with a beautiful Italian automobile engineer who is traveling for the NASCAR circuit to sell her controversial engine technology.
Yep.
Okay.
So it sounds like Cars 2 ripped this movie off is what it sounds like to me.
So she's trying to sell some kind of proprietary technology?
Something. And
she
has to have a race about it or something? That's what it says.
They settled with a race? The other one he says is Gumball Rally.
Oh, good stuff.
You've seen that one?
Yep.
Do you watch racing movies ever?
No, not really.
Smoking the Bandit?
Well, Smoking the Bandit, yeah.
Cannonball Run?
Cannonball Run, Gumball Rally is kind of...
Yeah.
You like movies about gladiators?
Yeah,
sometimes.
All-star cast and great cars, one of my favorite. It's a race around the country like Cannonball Run. Think of it like GoBots and Transformers. GoBots were first, but Transformers got all the love. Love the show and keep up the great work. Phil Rohr. Yes. Phil, thanks for reaching out, man.
Yeah. Gumball Rally is Gumball a 6-2. It's a 6-2 with Gary Busey and Raul Julia.
I don't think it made a ton at the box office. I think that one probably went straight out.
I appreciate Phil wrote in and gave you some love out here for all your car knowledge.
That's one. I'm up to one.
You're up to one, dude.
That wide net is working out.
That's what I'm saying.
J.N. Petey wrote in and said, a real short email, but he says, here's a movie idea for you. This is where I developed my first crush on Molly Ringwald. Tried showing this to my kids, and they both said my childhood must have been horrible.
Oh, my God.
It's called Space Hunter with a very young-looking Molly Ringwald here and Peter Strauss and some bald guy who looks like, I don't know.
If this guy was born in the late 70s, that's okay. If this guy was born in the 60s, that's awful weird.
Space Hunter. Have we talked about this before? It feels familiar.
No, I don't think so.
It feels like that feels like the name that would come out for like some Atari ripoff.
I think like arcade Ace Hunter. Game.
Yes.
I think it's just too close to Ace Hunter.
Ace Hunter from Megaforce.
Right.
All right. Next email comes in from DJ Campbell. He says, hi, BMR. My name is DJ. Hey, DJ.
Hey, DJ.
And I have to say, big fan of you guys and ladies. I've listened to almost everything and started like maybe two months. You,
oh, my God.
Wow. You streamed.
Go to sleep. My God.
We are not responsible for psychological counseling.
200 plus hours of content.
But if you need to talk to somebody, Patrick.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
knows somebody.
He says, I have to say, you guys have made me remember some movies that I've forgotten that I have watched. Love the Arnold voices, and yes, he can make anything better. Much love, and I can't wait for the next episode. You guys will keep it up, and Bob, love you, man. You say what everyone else thinks. I love people are shouting out Bob more now than just trying to take the bait on the hate mail anymore for Bob. He does say, so here's one we can look up. Check out Hatchet from 2006. Wait, it's a horror movie. Maybe. Hatchet. He says, have Bob on it also. I love that. The request for Bob to be on there. We'll see. Bob's tends to get put on. It depends on what the movies are that month.
5-6, so we're below Air America on that one. When a group of tourists in a New Orleans haunted swamp tour find themselves stranded in the wilderness, their evening of fun and spooks turns into a horrific nightmare.
Oh, sounds like your standard horror movie, really.
Pretty much.
All right. Yeah. We'll have to check that one out then. Yeah. Anybody in it that I would know?
Just looks like Richard Reel from, well, he would have been the car dealer guy in,
that's dumb.
The middle or whatever?
Robert England.
We'll check it up. But anyway, thank you for the email, sir. We appreciate you, man. And we'll try and get Bob on to Hatchet. Thank you, brother. Next email comes out from Jeremy McGinnis. BMR, I'm enjoying this show so much that I recently joined the Patreon. Let's go, Jeremy.
Sweet. Nice.
Is he in the Discord, though?
Unless he's in a name I don't recognize.
All right. Well, Jeremy, let us know if you're in the Discord, and if you're not, get in there.
Keep up the good work. I laugh out loud multiple times each episode. I'm still catching up on the catalog. He's not like the last guy who mainlined it in 2 months.
Yeah, right? That last guy, it's not sleeping ever.
Says he's listening to a mailbag now as he writes this. Just curious if The Pest is on your list. I haven't looked at the entire list yet, but I remember watching it back in the day and haven't seen it lately. You recently mentioned the Bubble Factory production company, and it's one of their productions would be worth adding. Jeremy M., I'm pretty sure The Pest is on the list. Have any of you ever seen that freaking disaster of a movie?
Leguizamo?
Starring John Leguizamo.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No.
I have.
Yeah.
When I was young.
Okay.
And even when I was young.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
This is not good.
Yeah, I saw this pile of crap back in the day.
Two of you coming to this sudden realization.
Yeah, I had to look it up, but I saw like the thing, the poster on IMDb, the movie poster. Yeah, I watched this. Yeah,
there's awesome. John Leguizamo is one of those actors, I think, where it's either going to be garbage or great.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I don't disagree with that statement at all.
There's just those certain actors that are out there where it was all right. It's one or the other.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. And John, mostly I enjoy his work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of bad things to say about John Leguizamo. In fact, he tells one of the funniest Seagal stories of all time, which we've already told on this show. But just the fact that Seagal came after him makes me like him even more. So, big fan. Big ups for John Leguizamo. Thanks for the email, and brother. And next email comes in from Ned from Oak Lawn, Illinois.
Oh, local Ned.
He says, let me first say, your podcast is awesome. You know what, Ned? You're awesome, okay? Thank you, brother. He said, I just found it and still need to begin an archival listen through. You guys are hilarious, and the content is nostalgic as hell. I am annoyed that you conjured the Filet-O-Fish jingle back into existence for me. Speaking of re-traumatizing yourself with The Pest, do you know the Filet-O-Fish
jingle? Yeah, it's great. I don't even like the Filet-O-Fish, but I'll crank it out. Every now and then I just start singing it randomly.
Give me that Filet-O-Fish.
I think anytime I see, and I know these are not as often, but the Billy Bass things, because that was the commercial. So anytime I see like a mounted bass, that pops into my head.
Right. I had one of those back in the day, the Billy Bass. Yeah.
He says, I realize how grateful I was to have forgotten it in the first place because I can't get it out of my head now. Try to work the Ernie Von Schlendorn dealership jingle into a future episode.
Ernie Van Schlendorn. Yeah.
Do you know the jingle for Ernie Van Schlendorn?
Oh, I'd have to think on that one.
There's all kinds of... Because we grew up in Northern Illinois.
Yeah. 588-2300 Empire.
All the Rusty Jones commercials.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just saw the Eagle Man commercial again the other day.
Look at those. Like,
as I was going through, I don't know why it popped up in my feed on YouTube, but it showed up. And I was just like, yep.
The car dealer I remember was Bob Roar.
Yes.
Yep.
That guy's face was too small for his head.
Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet.
Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet. Yes.
Saving your
Rosen,
money around
Rosen,
the clock.
Rosen.
There's a lot of Rosen dealerships in the Madison area now, too.
Yes. And the and then Victory Auto Records was the other one where they get
we'll pay cash.
The door would fall
Mad
off.
Max Madsen.
I hated those commercials
with the psychiatrist with the
Mad Max Madsen. It was like a weird
you might
voice.
Be mad, you might be bad, but you're not crazy.
But you're not crazy, and it would say it all weird.
Well, you said Victory Auto Records, and I'm going back through it in my head. It's like 710 East Green in Bensonville, near O'Hare.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fact that they give him like $60 for that.
He knocks the door off.
Moo and oink.
Moo and oink.
Oh my gosh. Dude. Oh, these are incredible.
Yeah. And then of course, like I still get nostalgic when I watch like the news bloopers.
Moo.
Because they'll show WGN news all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And Tom Skilling is retiring.
Yes.
And
is he?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. I didn't know that.
Yeah. 45 years. He started when he was like 14 on some radio station.
I'll never get tired of talking about those old local commercials that we had to watch all the time.
They're the best.
They're the best.
I think WGN actually did a tournament.
Oh,
of the stars from those commercials. So Bob Roorman was one of them.
Oh,
I forget who the other ones were, but they had him like on the show doing some sort of like game show with like some.
That's incredible.
Bozo Buckets might have been involved even.
All right.
I think those commercials are the reason why we were all in better shape 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Because legitimately, you know, it's like I've only got three of these sons of bitches to hurdle the couch, get to the bathroom, take a piss, get back out here, grab a snack, and get back on the couch before my show
starts. But sometimes you get lucky and you get the DeVry commercial, and that was always longer. Yeah. You have to list all of the things that you could get if you went
every degree they offer.
I'm Sally Struthers.
That's right. Speaking of. Double S names. Suzanne Summers died today.
Today?
What? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know. Wow.
I just saw something on like
the Thighmaster girl
from
Three's Company.
Dang.
Oh, dang, man. I didn't know that. Rest in peace. Here, he does have a comment about A-Team. James, and I want to say I had many people reach out to me about this. B.A. never said, I pity the fool in A-Team.
Right.
Because it's a line from Rocky III, not the A-Team TV show. So, yes, I complained that he never said pity the fool in the movie, B.A. Baracus. Because he had pity and fool tattooed
right
on his knuckles.
Right. Right.
It says, when Clubber Lang was asked why he hates Rocky Balboa, and I know this line because I basically know Rocky movies by heart. He says, no, I do not hate him, but I pity the fool. That's where that came from, right? So I think it was an undeserved trash can rating. If he hadn't died in 2016, I think Kimbo Slice could have done the character justice. Keep up the great content, Ned. Ned, in defense of, well, myself, I didn't give him the trash can strictly because he didn't say pity the fool. That was kind of an add-on. I gave it because B.A. Baracus was played by Rampage Jackson, who was a fighter and not an actor, and it showed because he was a terrible actor in the movie. So I appreciate the correction, I take that criticism with all due respect. Thank you very much, brother. But, yeah, that's not why I gave him the can.
But they alluded to it with the tattoos.
Yeah, they did.
They did allude to it, for sure. But, hey, Ned, great email, dude. Got us reminiscing about these old commercials.
Yep,
good stuff. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have some fun down there in Oak Lawn. Grant Russell writes in and he says, guys, but not Bob, how's it going? Is it going good?
It's not bad.
It's better now that we're done with yoga hosers.
My hip kind of hurts.
My knees hurt.
He says, I'm still trying to catch up on your back catalog. That's a running theme from these emails.
I hope when these people are catching up on the back catalog, though, they're not also going, I have to watch the movie too.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, spare yourself.
Let's just watch the ones you love the episode for. If it's an episode, you're like, all right, yeah, those guys are pretty funny.
But otherwise, we tell you what happens.
Yeah.
Right. Still listening, still loving, apart from Bob. I emailed a while ago to suggest a movie. Yes, I was the two email guy. Shut up, Bob. I wish Bob was here to field this one. As I said, still working my way through, so hopefully you add my suggestion to the list. I have another one, Drive Angry, where Nick Cage gets out-acted by William Fichtner. He brings it hard. I think that's also Amber Turd is in that movie with him. Nick Cage. I've seen it, I think. It's like the whole movie is one big chase sequence, if I remember.
Yep, Amber Turd.
Yeah.
Nick Cage. Yeah, 5-4 on that one.
That's not the reason that I email for this, though. He says, I have a suggestion for a new award category.
Ooh.
The Indiana Jones Pointless Character Award. I know there's a bit of a thing on the internet about the story of Raiders still going exactly the same way if you remove him from it. Nazis still open the box and they still all die. If anything, he just slows them down from dying. But it's also true for Last Crusade and Dial of Destiny, the latest entry in the series that perfectly epitomizes the law of diminishing returns. All right, I'm just going to get through his whole email before I respond, but I've got a lot to say already about this. Think about it. No Indian Crusade. Nazi still drinks from the wrong cup and dies. Added bonus of his dad not getting shot had they just stayed at home. No Indian Dial of Destiny. Nazis, again. So, spoilers, if y'all haven't seen the Indiana Jones movie, skip ahead 30 seconds. They still get the dial, still go back in time, still get shot down with surprisingly accurate giant arrows, might I add. I can't remember enough about Temple and Skull to work out if the theory carries for all the movies, but so far he's batting over 50%. Not bad for an old guy. I know it's a bit like a trash can award, but this is different in that it's more to do with removing a character that made no difference to the overall story rather than just bad acting. Hope you'll consider it. Either way, keep up the great work. Grant Russell. So, Grant. First of all, I mean, thoughts about this suggestion before
Temple,
I go into my rant.
He saved the day.
Yeah,
wasn't there, you'd have a bunch of kids still enslaved.
For sure.
I think we talk enough about useless characters anyway. I mean, I don't want to convolute our awards with
useless movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yoga hosers.
I think
today.
Go ahead. Did you have some?
You know, I think sometimes, you know, freedom of speech. freedom to shut up too. I mean, like Indiana Jones. That's what he's talking about pulling out of these movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I can't believe I have to like defend a George Lucas movie. But what are you talking about?
Well, I don't think he's saying that the movie isn't good because Indy's in it. But he's saying that the story ending wouldn't have mattered were he there or not. And in those
wrong,
but the butterfly effect.
But that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Here's what I'm saying. If Indiana Jones isn't there, let's just take Raiders, for example. The Americans don't recover the Ark of the Covenant. It doesn't end up being saved from being used by other people or recovered or whatever it is. So Indy is still there to take possession of the Ark, which makes him the person that recovered the Ark of the Covenant after being lost for however long. And so as an archaeologist, he accomplishes a great deal in that movie.
Right.
That's
but they're saying
one.
That he's simplifying saying that the movie is only whether or not the Nazis live or die.
Which isn't what the whole point of the movie is.
That's just a side thing.
Even in Crusade, yeah, maybe they don't make, first of all, they don't make it back into to get the Grail without Indiana Jones. He's the one that got them through the tests that decided whether or not they could get through. They were all getting their heads chopped off before he got there.
They may have eventually made it, but not likely.
Just throw some bodies at the problem.
Right. So the Grail is never recovered. That mystery is never solved. Like, we don't get to see any of that. And even the same thing, Dial of Destiny is not about the MacGuffin in the same way that that's the thing that they're chasing in all these Indiana Jones movies. The movie Dial of Destiny is about Indiana Jones at the end of his journey and this man coming to grips with his own mortality and whether or not he's going to stand up and finish the rest of his life strong or if he's going to essentially wither and die as the people in his life have moved on from around him. And that movie, more than any of them, is about the journey, not the destination necessarily. And I don't know how many of you guys have seen Dial of Destiny, but I thought it was a fantastic and fitting end. I thought the criticism of it was way overblown. And I thought it was a good movie and a great way to cap off an amazing run for a character. It was a movie, it wasn't Harrison Ford trying to play Indiana Jones. I know they had the first opening sequence where he was playing a younger version of himself. They de-aged him. But the point of the movie wasn't him to be like, let's do the old Indy stuff again. It was to play Indy at 75 years old and what that means for that character at that point in his life. And that's what the movie's about. Not, again, whether the Nazis die.
Right. But that's what I'm just trying to say where they're looking. When you look at all those online, hey, if you got rid of this guy, you're not looking at the movie story. You're looking at the Nazi story.
Right. But again, none of this meant any disrespect, Grant. I mean, maybe Patrick.
Ain't Eddie. Yeah.
This probably means.
I mean, no, I'm not just. It's not you that I disrespect. It's your opinion. Which is, I'm a big believer that like we're all entitled to our own opinion, none of us are entitled. I got a random Harrison Ford fact for you.
Oh,
speaking of other people that died at 76 this year, my favorite musician, Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Harrison Ford was on a Jimmy Buffett song, Desperation Samba, Halloween in Tijuana.
Was it really?
Doing whip cracks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Really? He's credited on there.
Huh.
Sweet.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that. Harrison, he comes across as a grumpy dude, but he just is kind of like a working man's actor, just wants to show up, do his thing. And
it was one of the most hilarious Conan O'Brien needs a friend in a long time.
Yes.
When he was on, he just, that dry deadpan delivery, yes, just taking shots at Conan at times and other times like praising him. It was fantastic.
Yes. Go listen to that one if you guys haven't yet.
And he's phenomenal on Shrinking, I think.
Yes. Yes. That's another, yes, great show.
That is a phenomenal show.
Yeah. Jason Segel kills it in that show.
Yes.
And so does Harrison Ford.
I just have a little bit of problem with the fact that they're always showing people in professions either like mine or adjacent to mine. Anytime there's a therapist or a counselor, there's, yeah, some sort of boundary crossing and ethics just, and it's just like,
which is actually the whole plot point of the show.
Exactly. And it's like, we're trying to get more people to seek help when they need it. And all, right, we're doing is showing them as shady.
Just shove
people
them off the cliff, right? Yeah, it's fine. But thank you for the email, Grant, honestly, dude, because it caused a good discussion. That's all we want. So we appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man. And I got a chance to passionately defend Dial of Destiny, which I don't often get a chance to do. Next email comes in from Dirty, is how he signs this. Guys, I want you to know that this podcast has quickly become my favorite. I found you guys on TikTok with a clip of Dudikoff motorcycle faceplant. Eating that windshield. Ooh,
that's good stuff right
the
there.
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't actually Dudikoff, but no, yes.
Yes, whoever that was.
Poor stuntman.
And you guys had me laughing so hard, I immediately went and found BMR on Google Podcasts and have been binging since trying to catch up. Now, to Tank Girl. Oh, he wants to talk about Tank Girl. Were any of you on Tank Girl?
I was not.
No.
Oh, all right. No. I'll field the Tank Girl questions. That movie was something. All the jokes about Dasani-ing, because they used, I don't know if you remember that, people, and nobody ever thought to say someone got aqua finished. Oh, my gosh. I am a moron. I kept making jokes because they would kill him or turn him into water bottles, yeah, or no, would use the water bottles to suck the hydration out of them or whatever. And I never thought to say aqua finished. I wish I lived closer so I could stalk my way into being a listener guest, because I just laugh all the way to work and back, making my own commentary and jokes, wondering why we aren't friends in real life. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I honestly dread the day that I catch up and have to wait for a weekly episode instead of the back-to-back marathon I'm currently in.
Well, it sounds like he already is one of us, because when I listen to episodes for movies that I've seen and I'm not on it, I am talking to you guys, telling you what you've missed.
Well, is that like,
so he's already doing it, yeah,
when we did Evil Dead 2 and you're just sitting there going, meh, just total meh the whole time.
Hard meh
on that one for
me. Thanks, Dirty.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. He says, here the mandatory Bob hate. Bob, you suck. parentheses, not really. You are my spirit animal. BMR for life. All right, appreciate you, Dirty. Thanks, man. And look, dude, we see we have an awesome community of people that listen to this show. You guys are all friends of the show, and we appreciate you, man. And I'm glad that you're driving around having a good time. Keep yelling at us. Keep yelling straight at your car dashboard.
Right. There was actually Stuff You Should Know podcast had an episode recently on parasocial relationships that's just like this, where it talks about, like, there's a certain percentage of the American population, I think it was like 51% to 49%, say that they feel like they've got relationships with the people that they talk to, you know, or they listen to or TV shows, things like that. So
I know that's true for me too. I have my own podcast that I listen to, and that's what I love, podcasts, man, because there's something about the audio medium of just listening to these voices over a long period of time. You get to feel like you really know a person, I think, better than when you other mediums.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if you want to call it more intimate. That makes me sounds weird.
But
you know
is.
What I mean? But like, yeah.
For just sure. Think about it. You have, sometimes you have your headphones in and you're just taking them while you're like mowing the lawn or you got it playing in the car. Like, they're there with you.
Yeah.
In those moments, you know?
No, for sure.
Well, I was thinking too, we got some of these guys who've been listening to a lot of episodes, stuff like that. Some of these truck drivers and everything. It's like, hey, just record you listening to it. You got a section where you got something to say, record it, cut it up, show it, send it over. Yeah. Send us the clip of you yelling at us.
You know what we're going to do soon? And this is probably a good enough time to announce it. We're actually going to be setting up a BMR phone number. So you'll soon be able to call in and leave voicemails.
I don't want that phone.
For our mailbags, you're not going to have the phone. It's going to be a Google voice number. There's not going to be a physical phone.
You can leave voicemails, and then for our mailbags, we can literally play the voicemails and respond to those along with emails.
Can we just get an answering machine, though?
Like an old school one?
Yeah, with the tape on it.
With the tape, everything. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you list this as BMR. Please leave your message to the beep.
Oh, crap. I was early. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, next one comes in from Tafru Poopy, is his name. T-A-F-R-U.
Ah, from the Cleveland Poopies.
Maybe. He goes, look, I listen to you guys, the Always Sunny podcast and the Delta Flyers podcast. That's it. We made the top three for Poopy.
That's what I'm talking about.
He says, thank you guys. I love the unique humor. Love Clint. Bob, I got you, bud. Don't care what anyone else says. The two people he shouts out are Clint and Bob.
That's
there you go.
Crazy.
There you go, bro.
This guy's unhinged. I like him.
Says the Arnold bits literally made me listen more. I have you subbed on YouTube, but only use the Google Podcast where I can't rate you guys. Shout out to change that. Write an email to Google. Everybody, tell Google. Actually, Google Podcast is dying. I don't know if you know that. It's done.
It's going to Google YouTube Music.
Yeah, in 2024.
In like weeks.
No, what I read, it was not till next year.
Well, 2024 is just
around
weeks.
The corner. But yeah, regardless, whether it's weeks or whatever. May. But yeah, it's YouTube Music is going to be like a Spotify app, basically, you know, and they're going to have all the podcasts on there. So you Google Podcast users out there, switch to YouTube Music or switch over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, because Google Podcast is going bye-bye at some point, either soon or down the line. I don't know. Conflicting information out there. He says, Ernest is the best, period. Oh, he shouted you out and then said, Ernest is the best.
Dude, he's messing with me. This guy, he's a... Oh, man.
I own his DVD of his commercials. It's forever long. Yes, you can get an Ernest commercial collection, and it's so long. I won't suggest anything until I've caught up on the most recent podcast. Signed, Tafru. Tafru, thank you, brother.
Maybe he's never heard one of our Ernest episodes.
Yeah, and then he's going to change his mind about who his favorite is.
Oh, they did a Ernest movie.
Yeah, let's check this. Oh, Clint's on it. Awesome.
Oh, damn it. he'll write back in. Yeah. Sorry, boot that.
No one's going to get that because this is coming out before Yoko Loser.
That's okay.
It's all right. Next email comes from Ivan Ward. It says, hi, BMR crew. Stunned that my email was read on mailbag. I literally had to sit down. I was laughing so hard. Anyway, movie. Have you heard of Escape from Atlantis starring Jeff Speakman and Brian Bloom? Your A-Team review made me think of it. Live action, Speakman is a dad who is stuck with his family on Atlantis being chased by a Saiyan-worshipping Brian Bloom wearing a Xena warrior princess outfit and his dwarf henchman who dumps exposition every time he's threatened. This sounds like Patrick Riley should be on that episode when we do it. What are you thinking, bud? Yeah?
Sure. I went someplace else while you were reading that.
You were just like,
I was not here anymore.
Something about a Saiyan worshiping Brian Bloom wearing a Xena warrior princess outfit with a dwarf henchman who dumps exposition every time he's threatened.
Let's do it.
And they're on Atlantis, I think.
Sure.
I don't know. Bye, everybody. Hey, thanks for the email, Ivan. We appreciate you, brother. And Pat is really happy you emailed in. Because now he gets to be on that Atlantis movie.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. All right, we got time for a couple more before we got to wrap this up. Nick Munns, he goes, look, it's Nick again. Hey, Nick, what's up, brother? Back with a bad movie that I think rules. This movie has to be the greatest ping pong movie ever made. I know what he's doing here.
Oh, no.
Okay. The only one. What makes this movie great to me is the soundtrack. Can't go wrong with some Def Leppard playing in almost every scene. The movie I speak of is, Mel, do you know what it is?
Balls of Fury.
It can't be.
A 5.3 on IMDb and a 21% Rotten Tomatoes, so it should fit in well. Enjoy the watch of a classic knockoff, Enter the Dragon, but with ping pong. Mel, you've got strong feelings about Balls of Fury.
Yeah, you know, it's like a bunch of people copied that movie. You know, they saw this movie over the weekend and then just decided the next weekend to just shoot a movie and produce it and edit it.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
Mel's referencing is we made a movie back in 2008 called Clubless, The Legend of Victor Montango. It was a disc golf movie. And it came out around the same time as
Balls of Fury. Yes.
And there was a bunch of people going, oh, you guys just ripped off Balls of Fury.
Yeah.
I'm like, right, we didn't put a year and a half into making this. but we just saw this movie came out. And we're like, let's do that, but with disc golf instead of ping pong.
We didn't re-edit the entire movie tomorrow. Because the hard drive died,
yeah,
or anything.
Right. Oh, yeah, we lost that whole thing. Well, we'll have to tell that story sometime if we ever get to do Clubless, the legend of Victor Montango.
All right. I play, but, interesting side note on that.
Yeah.
I actually play Fortnite with a guy.
Forkknife.
Yeah, with one of those names.
With Victor Montango.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He's a cool
guy. Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
I used to play some games as the VP, because I believe that was my title, was my credit in there.
Yes, it was.
Banging different blondes every Tuesday.
That's, I forgot about
yes.
that.
Yeah, that was,
yep.
That was
the, yep, yep. Wait a second. I totally forgot about your part in Clubless. Yeah. This, you know how long since I've even watched the movie?
Yeah.
Dude, for some reason, I thought your first thing we did was Mummer Man.
No, I was briefly in there.
That's right. You came up to the advice table, right?
No, I was one of the people out on the course.
Out on the course.
Wearing
like
my
the
suit.
News interview type
and I
thing.
Think I, and a headband.
That's right. You just
and
made
my line
day.
Was basically like, what That's are you, right. nuts? That's a sweet VP gig, and I'm That's banging right. a different blonde every Tuesday.
I forgot about that.
Oh, I think I was wearing the shirt from our bank.
Yes, it was from the bank we worked at.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not gonna give him a plug.
Thank you for making me so happy by bringing that up. The VP.
Such good dialogue, too. Versus other supposed dialogue-driven movies.
All right, thanks, Nick, for writing in. Last email for the evening comes in from James Bruce. Maybe a
the Bruce?
Descendant of Robert the Bruce.
Maybe.
We were talking about, perhaps.
Because the guy that wrote the Braveheart was Randall Wallace, I believe, and he claims to be...
A descendant.
A descendant.
Right.
And still.
I don't think this guy is a descendant of Robert the Bruce, because the first line of his email is, greetings from Australia.
Well, I mean, it's a penal colony for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Maybe.
Is it James Bruce or Bruce James?
Yes, it's James Bruce.
Oh.
Yeah. Recently discovered your podcast, and I'm loving it. My movie suggestion is My Science Project, a 5.9 on IMDb, with an audience score of 56%, 11%, a childhood VHS discovery for me. It's a classic 80s genre movie, far too overambitious for its budget and talent. An absolute gem. Keep up the hilarious work. My Science Project.
Well, let's see what we got for My Science Project. A high school student and his friend find a strange orb-like piece of equipment. Okay, so we're Solar Babies ripoff here.
I love it.
Piece of equipment to use as a science project, but must stop it when it begins to threaten mankind. So yeah, it's Solar Babies.
It's one of those new Japanese synthesizers.
That's what it is. We found it in a crater in a graveyard. That's got to be what it is.
It's Solar Babies. It's Red Sonja.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's in.
We'll throw it in there. I just want to say thanks to everybody who emailed the show. If you've got more, or like we've got a backlog, we're going to do another mailbag next week just to try and catch up on some of this mail. Things have been real busy around the BMR land lately, so we appreciate you guys being patient. But send in some more email, and we will get to it at a mailbag at some point. We appreciate you guys all listening. So thanks for Pat Riley being here, and for Ryan Mueller, Clint Bush, Mel Vandy. I'm James Hauser. We'll catch you guys in the next mailbag.
Getting stoned by a Christmas tree. We was jamming in the slammest, women pool shooting cannon like the cow. Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.